Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics.
Sean Payton was horrible in clock management. That should never be the case with this New Orleans Saints team.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, live from the Auto Farm Studios. It's like day five without any sports, but don't tell the NFL that because it's been an extremely exciting day, to say the least, and that's what we're going to focus the majority of the show on today. Trades galore, and a couple really caught me off guard. One in particular, if you haven't seen it today, the Arizona Cardinals and the Houston Texans pulled off a blockbuster deal earlier today, and I still have no idea what in the hell Bill O'Brien is doing or what this guy is thinking. The Cardinals will get DeAndre Hopkins and a fourth-round pick. The Texans get David Johnson, a second-round pick, and a 2021 fourth-round pick. That is highway robbery. Seriously, I have no idea what to make of this trade for the Houston Texans. For the Cardinals, it's a no-brainer. You just received a franchise-altering wide receiver to team up with Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk, and you give up nothing but essentially a second-round pick. Because you didn't want David Johnson anyway. And here's the kicker to this. The Texans will take on every penny of David Johnson's salary. He signed a three-year, $30 million contract back in 2018. He's got a cap hit of $10 million. So in a world where the running back no longer has significant value, and for an example, there is now a rumor floating that the Los Angeles Rams may just flat-out cut Todd Gurley and eat $20 million. In a world where the running back salary and the running back value continues to diminish, you have Bill O'Brien in the corner saying, wait. We have David Johnson. I can't believe it. To me, that is a mind-boggling trade that went down earlier today. We'll dissect that a tad bit more a little bit later on in the show. It was not the only trade. There was another one that I like an awful lot for both teams. The San Francisco 49ers trade DeForest Buckner to the Indianapolis Colts for the 13th overall pick. And I love this trade for both teams, and I'll tell you why. DeForest Buckner is very, very good. Buckner will receive near Aaron Donald money, making $21 million a season. San Francisco can't pay him that. They don't want to pay him that. So right now, in my mind, San Francisco is saying, we're not looking for a 1 or 2 year window. We're looking at a 4 or 5 year window. 49ers trade DeForest Buckner. He goes to Indianapolis. The Colts have all kinds of money. I really was critical of Indianapolis last offseason for not making the necessary moves to protect Andrew Luck, who no longer plays. He retired, and I wonder, would he have retired if the Colts would have been big spenders last offseason? I don't know the answer to that. But nonetheless, the Colts have all this money. They don't necessarily have a quarterback, but this tells me that they are very much alive in either the Phillip Rivers or even the Tom Brady sweepstakes. They now have someone that can anchor that defensive line, because I think Buckner is good. He's a top three, top four defensive tackle of the NFL. The 49ers, on the flip side, they decide to pay Eric Armstead. And if you go back to the Super Bowl show, post-Super Bowl show, I should say, I expected the 49ers to get rid of Armstead and pay Buckner, but this is going to work for San Francisco on multiple levels. Plus, we can talk about the ramifications of the 13th overall pick. How does that affect the NFL draft? That affects it a lot. Because now the 49ers are in a position to possibly trade back, garner some more picks, knowing that a quarterback more than likely would go at that spot. You know, we're talking Jordan Love, Justin Herbert. there are multiple quarterbacks that may be available at that number 13 spot. And so this particular move alters what could be a very fascinating NFL draft, which we'll talk about in just a moment. Some other news coming out of the NFL. The Cowboys will use the exclusive franchise tag on Dak Prescott. To me, there was never the question on if Dak Prescott's going to get paid. The question was when. And you knew it would be the Cowboys. With this move, the Cowboys now have until July 15th to work out a long-term deal. If no deal is reached, he will have to play the 2020 season on the tag, and then the sides can do the same thing in the offseason. This gives Dallas some flexibility as far as free agency is concerned. They know now they have until July 20th to work out a long-term deal, not throughout the month of March. It's a no-brainer for Dallas. We should have seen this one coming from a mile away. If you really thought Dak Prescott was going to leave Dallas, this right here gets rid of any thoughts. I didn't think it was even possible for him to leave the Cowboys. I don't believe that Jerry Jones would allow that to happen. Let's take a look at some of the other deals today. The Atlanta Falcons and Baltimore Ravens worked out a deal. The Falcons have traded for Hayden Hurst, Ravens tight end. They're going to send a second and a fifth round pick to Baltimore for Hurst, along with a fourth round selection. Hurst is going to replace Austin Hooper, who signed a four-year, $44 million deal with the Cleveland Browns earlier today. So the Ravens, who have been very active, yesterday they pulled the trigger. They made a move for Calais Campbell over the weekend, trading a fifth-round pick for Calais Campbell, which was just a steal. I don't know how they managed to pull that heist off. But now they can even recoup a little bit of that as they trade one of their tight ends over to Atlanta. That wasn't all that Cleveland did today. They were active on the offensive line as well. Jack Conklin, one of the top tackles available in free agency, has now signed a three-year deal worth $42 million with the Cleveland Browns. $30 million of that is fully guaranteed. He's going to earn $20 million in the first year and will only be 28 years old when this deal expires. Wasn't great this last season with the Tennessee Titans, but really, as far as his production was concerned later on in the year, along with Roger Saffold, that Titans offensive line really started to heat up, and they were dominant in the postseason, late in the season, into the postseason. If you want to get deep into the statistics, he posted a 92.3% individual pass block win rate and was on the field for 94% of the Titans' offensive snaps. This is a deal that the Cleveland Browns absolutely had to make. They have all these weapons, all these options. You go out and you add Austin Hooper. You're going to match him with David Njoku. You have Odell Beckham. You have Jarvis Landry. You have Kareem Hunt. You have weapons for Baker Mayfield. Now you start building that offensive line. To me, this is a very anti-Cleveland Brown move. It's not something we would have expected from Cleveland years ago, but today they made the right move. Now, that's not the only deal that Cleveland made on the offensive side of the football as well. They also now have a backup quarterback. Case Keenum has signed a contract with the Cleveland Browns as well. Keenum, who has been well-traveled throughout his career, has signed an $18 million three-year deal that includes $10 million guaranteed. Case Keenum has spent time with the Rams, then he went to the Broncos, then he went to the Redskins, started the first four or five games, and then had to go back to the lineup after Gruden was fired before week six. It was just a really weird, weird season for Case Keenum. It's been a weird few seasons for Keenum. Be it his time in LA, his time in Minnesota, maybe it's Denver, Washington. He wants a deal where he can be in one spot for at least a couple of seasons, and now he's going to be Baker Mayfield's backup quarterback. And Case Keenum is a serviceable backup. He's not a starter in this league. He's a very serviceable backup. If you have a lot of talent, I think he proved when he was in Minnesota, he's more than capable. But I think this is a perfect spot for him. So the Cleveland Browns, very, very active today. And that's really what the national sports scene has been based around throughout the afternoon. The NFL. New league season starts in 2 days, and there's been a lot happening, to say the least. Let's take a look at some of the other national news, and we'll begin with UFC. We had an event over the weekend, but now the UFC has officially postponed its next three events, the last of which was scheduled to take place on April 11th. And this, of course, is due to the growing impact of the coronavirus. Dana White alerted his entire staff of the decision today via email. Now, according to White, the company was prepared to do anything it took to move forward with the next three UFC Fight Night events, which were scheduled for March 21st, March 28th, and April 11th. However, the White House's recommendations to avoid gatherings of 10 or more people have basically made this impossible for the UFC. So these three events have been postponed. We're not going to have any sports now. I mean, at least we had UFC over the weekend, right? We don't even have that now. Major League Baseball has pushed opening day back to mid-May at the absolute earliest. And we're in mid-March right now. So think about that. Major League Baseball is pushing opening day back to mid-May at the absolute earliest. Again, it's because of the coronavirus. And as far as the federal government, their recommendation of restricting events of more than 50 people for at least the next 8 weeks. Rob Manfred made the announcement following a conference call with executives of all 30 teams today, so that has been pushed back. Another hot topic has been the National Basketball Association and what we're going to do with the NBA. We're going to have a full segment on that in just a few moments. The NBA may be back into action mid-June, and there is growing concern that this may be it for the season. We'll talk about that and more when we return. Plus, we'll continue to break down a very exciting, busy day in the NFL. That's all coming up on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports. We are live from the Auto Farm Studios right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Now, this local Castle Country sports update with Jordan Buscarini from KOAL.
Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And at 2 p.m. on Monday afternoon, the NJCAA has made the announcement that the spring sports JUCO season is officially canceled. Following the recent recommendations from the CDC, the NJCAA made the difficult decision to cancel all upcoming basketball championships as well as spring competitions effective immediately. The spring competition includes all practices, regular season, postseason, and national championship play. Now, regarding the eligibility for spring sports, no spring sports student athlete who was enrolled at a member college in 2020 will be charged a year of participation. Along with the cancellation of competition, all on and off campus recruiting for all sports will be halted until April 15th, with further evaluation to be assessed at that point in time. You can read the complete press release from the NJCAA right now at CastleCountryRadio.com. There were some high school sports over the weekend. The Carbon High School tennis team took part in the North San Pete tournament, where they competed against three other schools. It marked the second day of competition for Carbon after they defeated JUAB back on Tuesday, March 10th. In their first matches of the day at the North San Pete tournament, it was junior Preston Condi falling in straight sets 6-2 and 6-0. Leonard Livingston was defeated in straight sets as well, 6-2 and 6-0. And in the final singles matchup, Jack Livingston dropped a heartbreaker 6-2, 6-2, and 11-9. Now, as for double matches, Bonham Brewer and Derek Jorgensen fell in straight sets 6-3, 6-3, as did the team of Alex Callahan and Carter Hughley 6-0, 6-0. Carbon would ultimately lose to Uinta 5-0. In the second round of matches, the Dinos would face Manti, and it was mostly the same result. Condi fell in straight sets 6-2, 6-1. Leonard Livingston fell 6-0, 6-0. And Jack Livingston would again go to the tiebreaker after winning the first set 6-2. He lost the second 6-2, and then the tiebreaker 10-8. The double matchups of Bonham Brewer and Derek Jorgensen registered the first Carbon win. They picked up the victory in straight sets 6-3, 6-0, and the pairing of Callahan and Hughley fell 6-3, 6-4. Carbon dropped the set to Manti 4-1 overall. It was the final matchup of the tournament. Carbon faced North San Pete, and Preston Condi came out on top 7-5 and 6-2. Leonard Livingston took control in his match, winning 6-1 and 7-5, and Jack Livingston made a clean single sweep for the Dinos, winning 6-2, 6-3. And the doubles, Brewer and Jorgensen, dropped in straight sets, as did Callahan and Hughley. Carbon did secure the victory 3-2 over North San Pete. We move over to softball, and Carbon High School picked up a victory over Pineview in what was the final game before the suspension of high school athletics was put into place. The Lady Dinos defeated Pineview on the road in St. George by a final score of 9-5. The Lady Dinos jumped out to a 5-0 lead in the third, and they added one more run in the fourth as they would take control and never look back. Carbon was led in the game by Lindsay Madrigal. She collected three hits to go along with three runs. Molly Horsley also recorded three hits, and Brighton Kimber added two hits to go along with two runs and two RBIs. As a team, the Lady Dinos finished with 14 hits and batted 452 for the game. On the mound, Brooke Mosman went four innings, giving up four hits and four runs, while walking two and striking out two. Getting the win was Tinley Madsen. She went two innings, giving up just one hit and one earned run, while walking one and striking out two. That has been a quick look at the local Castle Country sports scene. For more information, visit CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year.
It's Lillard! He got the shot off! Lillard got it! And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years!
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarini on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, live from the Auto Farm Studios. And now we hit an interesting point in time as far as the national sports scene is concerned, especially the NBA. Now, we did have some news break yesterday, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, who said that the season may be on hiatus until June, which means we could be playing the NBA Finals in August this year if the season isn't completely done. Joining us right now to talk about what the future may hold in the NBA and what the current hiatus means for players and for teams, we'll bring in Jameson Welsh, our NBA Drive Time Sports Insider. Jameson, it's always a pleasure to speak with you, especially in these odd times, to say the least. It's unlike anything we have ever seen.
Wild times, my friend. Wild times. It's just a lot of uncertainty. And whenever there's uncertainty, the mind starts to race. A lot of possibilities start entering in the situation, and a lot of people start to panic. Me, personally, I'm not a panicking person, but it's like, okay, we have a couple months off here. Hopefully things are going to get settled, and hopefully we get back to normal as soon as possible.
Let's talk about the possibility here. First off, the idea that the NBA's hiatus may last until June. At first, I thought, okay, we're probably about a month out, right? This is going to take about a month to get things straight. End of April, we're back at it. Now we're hearing mid-June, and that may be the best-case scenario for the NBA. This changes things up an awful lot. And you and I had a conversation about what the league may do in the form of playoffs. What could you do, right, in the form of the playoffs? Could you pick up right where you left off, take the top eight teams? Do you tinker with it a bit? Do you go best three out of five in the first round the way it used to be to try to shorten it? Do you introduce a new format where you have play-in games? How does the NBA go about initiating the playoffs if it is in June when they're allowed to pick back up and start again?
So here's the issue. There's so many things going on. The NBA has a lot of decisions to make. The way the playoff races are in both conferences is actually lines up for them to say, you know what, this has been a great year thus far. However, due to the time situation, we need to start the playoffs when we come back. And here's the thing with that. It creates instant buzz right away. So instead of playing some regular season games that no one really cares about, you play games that matter right away. Now, hopefully they'd have a two-week training camp to kind of get back in the swing of things. But you'd be able to say, hey, these games matter, these games count. And you get guys right into it, and that's a huge thing in my eyes. That's a huge situation because now you're looking at it like, okay, you know, we didn't have basketball for 3 months, but now these games, you know, you're right into it, and that's a huge thing. But also it favors some teams more than others because, you know, if you have a team with an older player, rest is always good. If you have a team that has guys that are injury-prone, helps them out. Or if you have a team that has had a couple of guys that have been hurt recently, helps them out too. So there's a lot of different situations where this break can really help a lot of teams out.
Yeah, no question. And we can talk about the teams that it would help out in just a moment. I know you brought up some interesting teams that it could help, but let's focus on what it would look like if the NBA does return in, say, June. Okay, the CDC is recommending no events of 50-plus people for at least the next 2 months. A number of NBA owners believe that the best-case scenario, again, would be late June. So with that being said, there's a great chance that these games would be played in practice facilities, Jameson. That is very, very real. In fact, that's probably where these games would be played.
Yep, and that's the thing. I mean, and also for the NBA, if you're able to get the late June time slot, there's nothing on television besides baseball. So if you're competing against baseball, and you're going up the whole summer against baseball, you're in a really good shape. Talk about ratings this, ratings that. If they're able to come up against baseball, it really helps the ratings across the board. So that conversation changes also, because people would be really thirsty for sports and thirsty for basketball. So that would be a very, very good situation down the stretch. And also, the perfect timing would be having the season end right around the end of August, right when football season comes about. So it's a win-win for everybody involved.
A lot of the reason why the league has taken these precautions, at one time we probably could have looked at it and said a lot of this has to do with Rudy Gobert, and that's not a negative towards Rudy. I've gone on multiple tangents of saying, okay, look, I understand the way Rudy handled things was wrong, but in the same token, this guy did not purposely infect anyone with coronavirus. He did not know that he had it. He was simply probably a little ignorant on the topic, and boy, that was a coincidence. It was irony at its finest, right? But let's also be honest here. Suspended play for a minimum of 30 days with the hopes of resuming the season was the initial thought. That is no longer the case based off what happened with the Rudy Gobert situation. I mean, that's just being fair, right?
I mean, he's the guy that is the face of that in the NBA and all sports. Because if he doesn't get that, if he doesn't get the corona or the COVID or whatever it's called, we're still playing games. We're still playing. Because he's his thing. Everyone who's gotten it thus far in the NBA has gotten it from him. Donovan Mitchell got it from him. Christian Wood got it from him. So if he doesn't obtain it, then we're having a totally different conversation. We're talking about games being played in empty arenas. We're talking about March Madness right now. We're talking about the seedings. We're talking about a whole lot of different things right now. So, yes, he's the focal point of this situation. Now, how he contracted it, no one really knows. But him making a joke of the situation is what people are upset about. Him not taking it seriously like everybody else is why people are very upset at him at the moment. So that's why we're in the situation that we're in.
Jameson Welsh, again, our guest right now, our NBA insider. Let's talk about how the NBA is going to handle things during this hiatus, and this is where things get really interesting. First things first, NBA players will not be drug tested during this hiatus. Also, the NBA is allowing players to travel. Things might just get wild in some sense.
I mean, very wild. I mean, so first with the drug testing, I mean, that opens a whole can of worms because certain guys do drugs regardless whether they're getting tested or not, and other guys are going to, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. It's almost like a wild, wild west situation, and I know there's some guys that use drugs for pain management, but certain things, you know, it's going to be a wild time. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens if all of a sudden the CDC comes back early and says, hey, we're okay to play games under this kind of environment. What can we do? So there's a lot going on right now at the NBA. The NBA is probably going to stop testing for cannabis very shortly. So, you know, that's a big win for the players. I do know that. But with the players being able to move around and also not be drug tested, it makes things very intriguing going further. I know a lot of players don't live in the cities they play in full time. So if you play in Utah, you may have a house in L.A. or Vegas or wherever it might be, and that's just what it is. So it's going to be very curious to see what happens going forward.
It definitely is. And to the point that we started, I guess, how could a break – what teams would a break help? Okay, so say we get back to it in June, and first things first, I think it's common sense. It's probably a pretty common thought as well that if we resume in June, this absolutely 100% benefits the Los Angeles Lakers. And I want to start here with the Lakers. And the reason I say that is because you have a 35-year-old LeBron James. And a lot of the talk was, is LeBron burning both ends of the candle, right? So let's say everybody comes back in relatively good shape. I'd have to believe that the true contenders, maybe 1 through 5 in each conference, these guys, maybe 1 through 8 even in the Western Conference, these guys are going to take this seriously because they know they have a legitimate chance to win an NBA championship. There's no question this helps LeBron, right, if we were to resume the season in June.
Yeah, it helps him. It helps, I think it helps Kawhi Leonard as well, who I think is not fully recovered from his injuries. I think it helps Paul George. I think it helps the Sixers' main guys because they, both those guys were having injury issues at this point in time of the season. But also helps the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets fired a coach a week before this all took place. If they're able to bring back Kyrie and Kevin Durant after this and play with those guys, that changes the landscape a bit. Now, I don't think they can go ahead and win a championship with those two guys this season because there's just so much going on. But if those two guys are playing, you got two top 12 or top 15 or whatever you rank Kyrie Irving in your top list. You got two top guys coming back and basically ready to play. It changes the dynamic of a lot of things. Plus, you get more star power on TV, which of course creates more ratings. So there's a lot of things that happen. I think it really helps everyone. I don't think it hurts anyone. The only teams that it hurts is teams that aren't that good or teams that aren't contenders. Like Utah Jazz, this doesn't really make a difference because they are who they are. They're a first-round exit team as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't really help them. But teams like Houston, it helps them because they've been playing small ball, so it helps them. Denver, it is what it is. Denver, it hurts because Jokic is going to get fat over this break. So it kind of hurts Denver. But for the most part, it helps more teams than it hurts.
Yeah. I think that in the same token, we could give a lot of players maybe too much credit, giving them the idea that they're going to remain in shape during the course of this hiatus, right? I mean, that's kind of the unknown. I think you know which teams who have veteran leadership will wait this out and be just fine when they come back. And I think there are other teams that are kind of a question mark. To me, the Houston Rockets are a question mark. Really, I don't think there's any leadership within that organization to begin with. So I know you mentioned the Houston Rockets are a team that this could help. I don't know that it necessarily does because I don't see a potent leader on that squad.
Right. And I feel you. I understand completely. However, just the rest, like the recovery time of this helps most guys. Like being able to rehab your body, make sure your body's right, make sure your body's rested. That, to me, is huge. That's something that cannot be stated enough. However, that's not the end-all, be-all. You still got to have guys that can play and get the job done. So there's a lot. It's both ends, really. Like there's really both ends to this whole situation. With that being said, personally, if I am a team that is close, like if I'm a team that has championship obligations, I'm in a group chat every day trying to get everybody on the same page, make sure everybody's taking care of business, because the team that's going to come out of this and win it or be right there is going to be a team that has their stuff together. And the constant communication, make sure everybody's on the same page, that's going to be key going forward.
If this season does not resume, and I'll give you my thoughts on this as well, but I want you to lead this off. If the season does not resume and the 2019-2020 season is just flat out canceled, when we look back on it in 20 years, what is the NBA Finals matchup that we would point at and say we never got to see it and odds are we would have seen it that particular season? What's that one? I mean, because we talk about we never got to see Kobe and LeBron play in the NBA Finals. I think that's one of the things, it's one of the biggest downers when you take a look back at the history of the game. The fact that those two never went toe-to-toe in the NBA Finals. There were times where LeBron had a team that was more than capable of getting there to go up against Kobe. There were times when Kobe had a team that was more than capable in getting there to go up against LeBron. What would be the big mishap this go-around that we would look back on in 20 years and say, damn, we never got to see that?
Oh, Lakers-Bucks. That's the matchup. You get the best team out west versus the best team out east. That's the matchup. That's all it is. And, unfortunately, we're not going to get that, if the season were to get canceled. So that would be the matchup that we all miss. We have, Giannis and his situation going against the Lakers, and they're two all-star guys. And, a lot of storylines there, the history with those two franchises with the big trade that was made like 50 years ago. So there's a lot there, but unfortunately, if the season does get canceled, we do miss out on that.
And as far as the CBA, look, this is the salary cap. Everything's going to be massively affected by this season. And I think that's one of the things that maybe the casual fan is really unaware of. All right, you take a look at the cap next season. It's supposed to dip anyways by about $1 million, okay? Losing all this money, it's going to affect the salary cap massively next season. This is going to have ramifications not only in the 2019-2020 season, but moving forward for the next 5, 6, 7 years, especially when you look at a team like the Lakers or a team like the Clippers, a team that is close to being capped out, losing money next season, especially with the Lakers, where they have a marquee free agent in Anthony Davis. This changes things. It changes things drastically.
Right, that's true. That's true. And also, here's the thing. If the season gets shortened, that means salary cap changes. That means a whole lot of things get impacted. And that means a lot of guys that are role players, the teams can't afford if the cap changes. If the cap is significantly changed, certain guys can't make, you can't have certain guys making $8 to $10 million a year or that fourth guy making $14 million a year. It changes a lot of things. So these owners don't want to pay the luxury tax. So it'd be very fascinating to see what happens if things get canceled, because things get canceled and basketball-related income is down a certain amount and they got to adjust everything. It can get very scary for a lot of teams, and a lot of teams would have to make decisions on their roster based off of what's going on.
Jameson Welsh, again, our NBA insider here on Drive Time Sports. What do you do with your time now? I know you jump all over radio stations. You're going to continue to be a guest here on this show, I know, during the hiatus of the NBA and sports season. I don't know what your schedule now looks like as far as all the other stations you join. You were going to go cover the Nike Hoop Summit for us here at the radio station. I know that's been canceled. So what's your schedule look like now?
Well, I have a small business. I have to attend time for that. Other than that, it's honestly just making sure I'm good mentally and physically. So I'm at the house making sure everything around here is cool, and home improvement projects, and making sure everything is, all the clutter's taken care of and whatnot. So just making sure that I'm good here, make sure everything is solid here, everything's stocked up. That's the main thing at these times.
No question. No doubt about it. Jameson Welsh, again, our guest here on Drive Time Sports. Follow him on Twitter, @TheJameson. Jameson, I know we'll catch up again real soon. I appreciate the time again. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
We'll break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return, and it's right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, live from the Auto Forum Studios.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Plenty happening in the NFL. The NFL typically will write its own storylines for us in the media, especially those who hosts sports talk radio shows. I was having a conversation with a fellow host yesterday, and he said, what are you going to be talking about? I said, well, I've got some things in the work. I'm going to ask some questions on Facebook. We're going to open up the phone lines. We're going to do some things. I said, but the NFL is going to give us plenty to talk about, at least for the next month, because the NFL literally writes our storylines for us, like this one today. The Arizona Cardinals, the Houston Texans, DeAndre Hopkins at a fourth-round pick to the Cardinals for David Johnson and a second-round pick this season and a 2021 fourth-round pick next year. As I said at the beginning of the show, I have no idea what Bill O'Brien is thinking, and there absolutely has to be more to this trade than what we are aware of. And when I say there has to be more to the trade, I'm talking about the story behind the scenes. It's possible that DeAndre Hopkins and Texans management just did not see eye to eye, and they needed to move on from him immediately. But I'll tell you what, this does not help the receiving core at all. Doesn't help Deshaun Watson at all. A quarterback that you have on a rookie scale contract that you were going to have to pay big bucks to relatively soon. This doesn't do you any favors. Now you're relying on Will Fuller, who I love, don't get me wrong, he's a domer. I love Will Fuller. Problem is with Will Fuller, he can't stay healthy. He's proven that. I said, so more on the Texans here in just a moment as far as what the future holds for them. But the Texans have to take on all of David Johnson's salary. And he signed a three-year $39 million extension back in 2018. So he has a cap hit of $10.2 million in 2020 and $7.9 million in 2021. Now to compare that to DeAndre Hopkins, who, if you tell me, is the best wide receiver in football, it's a fair argument. In fact, it's more than fair. It's a very realistic argument. He gets $14 million in 2020, $15 million in 2021, and $13.9 in 2022. Sign me up for that any day of the week. This guy is so good. And I think one of the problems with DeAndre Hopkins is he has played for the Houston Texans, and he's played for a coach that I no longer will defend on this show in Bill O'Brien. I've defended Bill O'Brien on this show. I've defended Bill O'Brien on other shows that I have appeared as a guest on, and a lot of that has to do with what he accomplished at Penn State. No more. Bill O'Brien has now traded Jadeveon Clowney and DeAndre Hopkins and did not receive a first-round pick for either of those two players. Inexcusable. I don't know how this man is still calling the shots within that front office, which tells me one of two things. Either A, Bill O'Brien is on his way out. This will be his final year at the helm in Houston. That's very feasible. Or B, something else is going on behind the scenes, and they had to move quickly to get Hopkins out of town. Here's the other thing about the Houston Texans. They have two players that are going to command massive, massive contracts. And maybe that's part of the reason this deal is done. They have Laremy Tunsil, who they gave up an awful lot to get. Remember, they used a first-round draft pick. They used a couple of first-round draft picks to bring in Laremy Tunsil. And they have Deshaun Watson, who has proven that he is a franchise-altering quarterback. So again, I guess the only argument that you could make today, if you're a Houston Texans fan, you're probably crying right now because you just gave up one of, if not the best wide receiver in football for nothing. Hopkins gets $14 million in 2020, $15 million in 2021, and $13.9 million in 2022. David Johnson gets $10 million this year, $7.9 million in 2021. That tells me that I guess the Texans are looking to build their offense around A, Laremy Tunsil, left tackle who they gave up a lot to get, and Deshaun Watson. And they'll fill in the pieces from that point on. But even that's a hard pill to swallow. Because it's not as if you received some sort of centerpiece. I mean, my goodness, the San Francisco 49ers got a first-round draft pick for DeForest Buckner. 13th pick overall. I know that the market changes daily. I get it. Yearly, I should say. I get it. But just take a look at the wide receivers that garnered first-round picks in trades. Percy Harvin, Roy Williams, Joey Galloway, Keyshawn Johnson. I'm going back a little ways with those names. Let's get more current. Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks again. Remember, the Saints traded Cooks to the Patriots for a first-round pick. The Patriots then traded Cooks to the Rams for a first-round pick. Amari Cooper was sent to Dallas for a first-round pick. Odell Beckham Jr. was sent to Cleveland for a first-round pick. DeAndre Hopkins, a second-round pick. That's what's hard to swallow if you're a Houston Texans fan today. You couldn't get a first-round pick out of Hopkins or Jadeveon Clowney. You get a third for Jadeveon Clowney. You get a two and a four for DeAndre Hopkins. And the value at running back in today's game, it's diminishing by the day. This is a terrible trade for the Texans. They get an F on this, hands down. If you play Madden, which you probably, if you don't play Madden, you probably will here in the coming days, I dare you to try to make that trade on Madden. Computer's not going to accept it. That's a horrible trade. F for Bill O'Brien, A for the front office of the Arizona Cardinals. The NFC West just got even better. It was already a gauntlet with the Niners, Seahawks, and Rams. And now you're starting to see a receiving core, a team that can't stop a nosebleed defensively with the Cardinals, but now they can figure out what the offensive line is going to look like with the mobility of Kyler Murray. They're going to score points. Love the trade for the Cardinals. I'd love this trade for anyone in the NFL. We'll look at the other trade today, the other massive trade. The 49ers sending DeForest Buckner to the Indianapolis Colts in exchange for a first-round pick. And this is why this trade is in another universe. Both teams win here. Right, and I know it's hard to say that for the 49ers because you're giving up a top three defensive tackle in the game. DeForest Buckner is that great. But I believe the 49ers drafted him 7th overall just a few seasons ago. Right, so you get to a Super Bowl with Buckner, you don't have to pay him, and you trade him for the 13th overall pick a couple of years later when you have a team built for success, a team that can win a Super Bowl going into next season. It's always hard to stomach when you lose a player like Buckner. Don't get me wrong. But John Lynch did exactly what he needed to do in order to keep the window of the 49ers open for more than 1 to 2 seasons. And sometimes that's hard to really swallow because sports are a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately type deal. But this was the right move for Lynch. I would have preferred the 49ers sign Buckner and maybe move on from Armstead. But here's the thing. Armstead is more versatile, and you can use him in a number of different ways on the defensive line. I think he's an above-average defensive tackle. He's an above-average defensive end. At this point, if you're the 49ers, you draft a defensive tackle, I think you're going to be fine on the defensive line with having Armstead and Bosa on the opposite ends. And for the 49ers, they don't have a lot of draft picks. And so it would surprise me if the 49ers were to keep both of their first-round picks, because right now they have two. They have their own, and then they have the Colts now. but the 49ers do not have picks in the second, third, or fourth rounds. Now you can shop one of those picks, move back, pick up an additional compensation, and at the same time, you pay Armstead, you don't have to trade Buckner. Buckner wants Donald money, gets very close to it. 49ers were not going to be able to pay him that. That's how we got to this particular point with this trade. The Colts, they are looking to win now. And if they can land Phillip Rivers, or say they land Tom Brady, I don't think it's out of the realm of possible that they could land either one of those two. Buckner is going to help them win right now in the AFC. He fills a huge void on that defensive line. Who are the Colts going to select at 13 that would deliver immediate impact? Even if it was Jordan Love, and I know Jordan Love is getting a lot of love from the national and statewide media, and rightfully so, he's not going to have an immediate impact. This team can win right now. Buckner allows them to put them in a position to win right now. Anchors that defensive line. I still believe they land a veteran quarterback in free agency. And the Colts still have a ton of cap space. I believe in going into this deal, they had, I believe, third most in the NFL, top three. So they have all kinds of money to pay Buckner, and he's only 26 years old. It is a deal where both teams win. And sometimes it's hard to grasp trades where both teams win when you look at a trade like the one between the Cardinals and the Texans where one team wins in a landslide. But this is a perfect example as to how both teams can win. Again, if you're a 49er fan, you can't diminish the idea of not having Buckner on that defensive line. He has been more consistent than Armstead. But again, you could make the argument that Armstead has been more productive ever since he's returned from his injury. And the one thing that continues to be apparent in the NFL, it is a copycat league. And you were seeing teams go all in for 1 to 2 year runs. Again, in the NFC West, the most competitive division in football, we're looking at a team in LA that did just that. They did not make the playoffs last year. The 49ers are now looking for a run that goes beyond 2020, and I think they put themselves in the right situation. Now I'm curious to see what John Lynch can do over the next couple of weeks with two first-round picks. Do you move on from one of them? Do you move on from both of them? Curious to see how he handles this with San Francisco. Maybe the 49ers go wide receiver in the draft. Maybe CeeDee Lamb is available at 13. Highly unlikely, but it is possible. Right? The 49ers can help out their cause offensively a tad bit in this draft. John Lynch, I think, does it again. Those were the two massive trades in the NFL. And again, we're going to be following the NFL close because that's the only movement that we have going on right now. There's no Major League Baseball. There's roster freezes. We know there's no NBA. We're well past the trade deadline. There can be no movement there. The NFL is going to be extremely entertaining over the next little while, and I do believe we get another massive trade relatively soon. And by relatively soon, within the next 24 hours, I think we'll see another NFC West team make a trade, make a move at the very minimum. New league year starts in 2 days. Let's take a quick commercial break. We do have more coming up. It's a Monday edition of Drive Time Sports, and it's right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
Back on Drive Time Sports. Set to wrap up this Monday edition of the show. Even though there is no sports, still plenty to talk about. Again, the NFL draft is going to carry us. But I do have some great abstract conversations lined up, and I'm looking forward to some of those. I asked the question on Facebook, what's your favorite baseball movie and favorite football movie of all time? At some point, we're going to talk about that. Right, your favorite football, favorite baseball movie. And I really had to stop and think about it. I thought it was clear cut for me until I saw some of the responses. Sometimes you tend to forget about some of the movies that you really enjoyed. League of Their Own is fantastic, isn't it? As far as baseball movies are concerned, League of Their Own, Sandlot, 42, those have to rank at the top for me. Football movies, there's a ton of them. You know, even though I'm a Domer fan, I mean, I'm such a Notre Dame homer, I don't necessarily care for the movie Rudy. Because a lot of what that movie portrayed to us is false, right? So I have a hard time with Rudy. But we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to be joined by Darian Daniels. We'll continue the NFL draft conversation talk. Daniels, a redshirt senior out of Nebraska, created some buzz around his name. He had a great performance at the Senior Bowl, had a terrific performance at the NFL Combine, and we're going to get him on the show to talk about what it's like to go through the process. We're going to talk about the guys that are projected to go top 10. Darian Daniels probably goes anywhere from round 5 to 7. I find that journey extremely interesting because it's so much different. We're not talking about the guys that have constant media surrounding them. This is a guy that's coming in under the radar. What's that process like? I'm looking forward to this conversation. That'll be on the show tomorrow. Nebraska redshirt senior going into the NFL draft, Darian Daniels. That'll be here on Drive Time Sports. I want to thank Jamison Welsh for taking out the time to join us. We are out of time today. I'm Jordan Buscarini. We'll do it again tomorrow. Be safe. I'm out.